The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
There's no change in the medical side. We're in the same spot we were as the last time I talked to you. We're continuing to have a lot of conversations with teams, and you know, we're open on all our players, as I've said over and over again, and Jack in particular. The phone rings, we have conversations, but I think what's critically important to make sure is clear is that you know, we're in control of this process. We have a player under contract. We don't feel any pressure. If there's a deal out there that we feel is the right thing for the Buffalo Sabres, it's going to help us improve, whether that's improve right away or improve down the road. Those are all the things we weigh. We'd be open to it, but you know, we're not in a position where we feel that you know, we're just going to do something to do it. That doesn't make any sense. So but those conversations are continuing to go.
That was Kevin Adams yesterday, Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Good morning, Craig. No Marty, no Darren Dreger today. So we want to hear from you today. You're listening out there. You're driving around. You're sitting at home. You're watching us. You're listening to us, whatever you're doing to us. Do you like the stance on standing firm on Jack, or do you want the deal done already? Give us a call, 803-0550, 888-550-2550. We're at the Instigators on Twitter. And you can help us fill up the airtime today if you want to give us a call. So do you like standing firm on a Jack trade, or do you want the trade done already? I think we know where Craig stands. I don't know that everyone knows where I stand. Shortly after my rant yesterday, Sabres went out and signed a piece of grit. They got a player, a physical player, John Hayden. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some coaching additions that were made yesterday. JSD. Jumping off the top ropes yesterday, talking about Jack Eichel. So we'll get into all of that here. So good morning, River. How are you, buddy?
Good morning. Good morning. I feel like my emotions are just kind of like flip-flopping back and forth.
Yeah, roller coaster.
I was trying my best yesterday to be Mr. Positive, which sometimes toughest thing to do, and your
positivity yesterday pissed me off so much. I couldn't handle it, but I appreciated the effort though.
I did my best, but you know what, it's just interesting to, you know, all of us are in that situation of sitting back and we're waiting, anticipating what could happen. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like you feel like you're checking your phone constantly throughout the day, waiting for something to go down. Okay. But realistically, it could be months and months before something happens with a player like Jack Eichel. And, you know, it's, you know, you clearly see the direction of where the team's going. And, you know, again, I read stuff and there's a lot of people that are not happy with, you know, Kevin Adams and them not going out in unrestricted free agency and signing players. And it's no, I hate to say it, but the team's not a very good hockey team right now. It's young, it's immature. And to go out and spend bad money is not the way to go right now. So we have players, a lot of players that are on one-year deals. There's cap flexibility, which I think is huge moving forward. You know, I would imagine at some point, you know, you'll hear a signing with either Henry Jokiharju or Erasmus Dahlin. These players are long-term fixtures on the Sabres. These guys are going to be the ones that we will be signing to contracts that are, you know, either bridge deals or long-term deals. But I'm happy that Kevin Adams did not go out and spend a ton of money on players that, quite frankly, will not make us better right now, because I think there's too many holes on the team. And I think that the right way of looking at it is allowing these young players to play a ton of minutes, put them in all the tough situations throughout the year. and just grow. I said this and I got my head ripped off on Twitter, which is like, you know, all the brainchilds are on Twitter, right? All the guys that know what they're talking about, right? I talked about we need to build through the draft. And I remember reading one of the tweets I had yesterday. He absolutely, I can't remember who it was, absolutely ripped me. You know, we already tried to do it through the draft. Yeah, that was last time. They screwed up. I think the Sabres would be the first people to say it, that, you know what, it did not work the first time. But that means that you got to try again. And you got to get it right this time and make the right decisions. And we've got a lot of great hockey players on this team, great young hockey players, and it's going to be built. I talked about JJ Paterka. You ripped my head off yesterday because, you know, JJ Paterka is considered a very, very high-end prospect. Is he ready right now? No. Let him develop. Jack Quinn played in the minors as an 18-year-old last year. Is he ready for the NHL? No.
I just wasn't in the mood for optimism.
Let him go get 60 goals next year.
Yeah, I wasn't in the mood for optimism yesterday. And that, you know, and look, we all have those days. But I think for me, it came down to, listen, did they sign anybody of relevance at free agency? No, they signed guys to stopgap and fill the void to at least just have a full roster. You needed goalies.
Will Owen Power be on this team next year?
No, that's why? Actually, well, because you have enough.
He can play in the NHL. Owen Powers, without question, 100% is able to play.
He can't come here next year. He can't.
Why?
It's not going to benefit him.
Why is it not going to benefit him playing in the NHL?
I mean, I don't know which reason to start with. I have 100 going off the top of my list right now, but how about just the team's not going to be very good?
Okay, that's number one.
Okay.
Number two is you try and understand development. Is development the best thing when a player comes to the National Hockey League to play? Even though he can't play, he can come and play here. Or is it better that he develops I'm sure he's a confident young man already. But he's going to go to Michigan next year at 19 years old. And he will be the number one defenseman. He's going to play number one power play minutes, number one penalty kill minutes. He'll be able to dominate games from the back end. He's going to take a leadership role on a hockey team. He's going to be the man. He's 19. I love the idea of putting him back in Michigan. I desperately hope the Sabres take that route because there is no rush.
That's a no-brainer. That is going to happen.
Imagine what we're going to get at 20.
Yeah, that's going to happen. We're going to get it has to happen.
He can play in the NHL right now.
Yeah.
But wait another year with more strength, you know, more confidence, and he's played all these different situations. He's going to walk in at age 20 to Buffalo, and he is going to play a significant role. And that's what you want. And that takes time.
So we start this conversation started with, you know, our topic about being optimistic yesterday. We opened the show, Kevin Adams talking about, you know, they're in control of the situation as it pertains to Jack Eichel. And who's in control? Who's in control of the situation here? In your opinion, with the trade, is it the Sabres? Is it Jack? I mean, it's not Jack, but is it the other teams? Because Kevin Adams does make a point; they have him under contract. So, if it's Jack that's getting antsy, I mean, that doesn't matter if Jack's getting antsy.
He'd give a rat's cahoot if Jack's getting antsy. How about that one?
I agree.
Sit home and wait. Sit at home and wait. I love Kevin Adams with the way he's playing this. There's no rush for Jack Eichel. He's not rushing anything. He will make a trade when he wants to make the trade. He will make a trade when he feels that he is getting the return that is going to benefit the Sabres moving forward. And that's what this is all about.
Do we want him at training camp? Like, do the Sabres want him at training camp? Would that not be a huge distraction if Jack Eichel reports to training camp?
Well, you know what we're talking about right now, Petey? What we're talking about is we're still in July. So do we really need to sit here and break down Jack Eichel? And
well, we're in August next week.
Okay, next week. All right. Great. You got me. We're August 1st. I don't even want to talk about training camp. When's training camp? September
16, 17.
17th. We got a month and a half. Don't need to dissect the Jack Eichel situation and should he be at training camp. Who knows what's going to happen between now and then.
All right. I don't think they want him at training camp. I would love the deal to be done. But like you, I don't really, you know, everyone always reporting Jack's going to get impatient. Jack's going to get, who cares about Jack getting impatient? I think making him wait is should be all part of the game. It should be all part of the game, you know, make it as uneasy and uncomfortable for him as he's made it here for us with that postseason press conference and the disconnect and you know, all of it. Like, I'm just sick of it. I'm just sick of the Jack Eichel era and I want it over for a lot of reasons. One of them being JSD, you know, it's like, here's a classic example of someone, you know, people are like, who cares about JSD? Did he even play for the Sabres? I think people are completely missing the point here on JSD. I'm just looking for the quote here in the rundown. I don't know if you have it exactly there, but he basically comes out here and he says, talks about Jack's leadership. Here it is. I didn't really get it. This is what JSD had to say when asked about Jack Eichel. I didn't really get a chance to chat a lot with him. Problem number one right there for me in the first line. He's your captain. If you step foot in that, I told Craig this morning, I said, when I was here in 98, 99, Pekka was traded in 2000, 2001. He may not remember me as a prospect, but I certainly remember Michael Pekka as the captain of the Buffalo Sabres. And not because I watched them on TV and knew the team. It's because when you showed up to training camp, he was the first person to come up to the young guys and be like, hey, you know, I'm Mike. Nice to meet you. You need anything, let me know. How's everything going? Check in on you when he's walking around the gym and you're at your conditioning camp. How's everything going? You guys having fun? You're learning a lot. Make sure to listen. All these things. I have never heard one thing like that about Jack. I don't think he's a bad person when you get to know him, but all I can say is that he's not Sidney Crosby either. You see the difference in leaders when you get into a room where Sidney Crosby is. No matter who you are, the individual, your name, your draft rank, he's going to take care of you. He's going to talk to you as if he was talking to a fan, a kid he would meet on the street. Like I said, he's not a bad person, but perhaps there's also reasons why Buffalo was in a situation like that. I have been around leaders over the course of my career, and often you see the difference, the type of person he is off the ice. He's an excellent hockey player, but in terms of leadership, sometimes I think, I'm sure that with age and the maturity he'll gain, he's going to get better and better. Often it's a lot of pressure having to perform and being a captain at such a young age. But like I said, he's not a bad, why does he say three times he's not a bad person? But I don't think he's the leader we can find with the Penguins. Comparing anyone to Sidney Crosby is unfair. It's unfair. I don't know if there's a more perfect athlete out there. Other than the whining, what has Sidney Crosby done wrong? Nothing. But I don't like any of this. Yeah, I read some of the comments. Who cares what JSD says and what's his comment mean? What does it mean? Here's a guy who's barely played in the NHL being vocal about the former captain of the team he was partially on. And this says a lot. This says to me that Jack doesn't have time for anybody. That's what this says to me. This right here says to me that Jack Eichel does not have time for anybody but Samson and maybe like he sounds like a clicky kind of guy to me.
Yeah.
I don't need to sit here and pour out my resume because it's not anywhere near yours. But I played with leaders and captains in this league, you being one of them. Chris Drury, Danny Briere, mentioned them. But I played with stars too. Like Marty Brodeur was not a captain because, he's a goalie or whatever. But there's a superstar that Jack Eichel will never even be able to compare to in the category. And he was the most friendly, outgoing, welcoming person. And he of anybody should not have had any time for anybody. Like, he was at the end of his career. Pardon?
But it's just the way, it's the way, you know, these guys have been brought up as men and grown, and they treat people with respect. That's basically what it comes down to. Okay. It's what it comes down to. How many times in that article did he say that Jack was an incredible player?
I got to go back and read it again. A couple times. I know he said he's a great player. Said he's doesn't make him a bad person. I'm just, why do you ask?
Because they said it three times. He's a great player. He's a great player.
And we're not questioning his on-ice ability. The problem is
there are teams, I believe, that get clouded in a decision to choose someone to lead a team. The best player on your team does not necessarily mean that he is the right leader. And I'm not, like, I don't even know Jack. I don't know him. I think I met him like once. And he is a world-class player. Like, I mean, he is heads and tails above, you know, most players in this league. But again, does that make him a leader? Because he's a great hockey player. You know who leaders are? Guys like Kyloposo. I hate to say it, but guys like Kyloposo, people are rolling their eyes maybe, but, you know, Kyloposo. No, Kyloposo is a leader. He treats people with respect. He's trying to, you know, guide these younger players.
Takes his job seriously.
Takes his job seriously. Family man. He's a good person. He's a good person.
Yep. He'll give good advice to young players.
I read that article on Jean-Sébastien D, and I just kind of shrugged my shoulders and said,
I wasn't surprised.
I wasn't surprised at all.
I was so grateful that someone finally said something about this guy. That, man, he barely even said anything. Like, he barely even said anything about Jack. But I mean, you don't have to have former players and teammates say it. Go read social media. It's not all fake.
And listen, I mean, you know, I guess what we look at right now is there's a lot of youth on this team that is going to be moving forward. Tage Thompson, who I've met Tage Thompson, and so have you. And I've literally talked to this man a couple times in here in Buffalo. You know, when you have a first read on a person, immediately, what a great kid. What a great kid. That's just my impression of meeting this young man. I think there's players really like Dylan Cousins. Do you remember the first interview that we did with this kid?
Yeah.
He walks in, he sits down. We had a 5-minute conversation before we went on air. And this is was this not his draft year when we were doing it at
the rink? It was right. It was, I think, like rookie camp or something.
This kid is blown over with emotion. He just has been drafted by the Buffalo Sabres 8th overall. He's glowing. He's just so much. There's people grabbing him in every different direction. You know, got all the public relations guys going, we got to go here. Then we're going there. Then we're going to show you around Buffalo. We're going to go out all our sponsors and this and that. And the kid sat down with us for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Then we went on air for, I think it was 8 minutes, because that's all we were allowed. 8 minutes. We did our interview and the kid got up, he shook our hands, stood, looked us both in the eye, shook our hands, and he walked away. Do you remember the feeling when me and you both looked at each other?
Yeah, I remember what you said.
I don't, so.
I do. I remember exactly what you said to me.
What did I say?
There's your future captain of the Buffalo Sabres.
Did I say that?
Yes, that's exactly what you said.
Okay, I don't remember that, but I'm going to tell you this. This young man, this young man's maturity at an extremely young age and who he is, all I was thinking the entire time, I only spent about 15 minutes with him and he walked away and I literally looked at this kid and said, we have something special here. I don't know how good he is going to be. I don't know the player he's going to turn into. He's only, 17, 18 years old. And I don't know what you're going to turn into. But I'm going to tell you right now, that right there is a piece to the puzzle that you want. And I'll never forget it. It happened 2 years ago. And he, 15 minutes with me, lasting impression, lasting. I immediately looked at that kid and said, well, there is your captain. Because I don't need to spend much longer. I feel I'm a very good judge in these things. I could not believe it. That's just me, okay? But what I'm trying to get at is we have young players. Casey Mittelstadt, we were all sending him to Greenland the last couple years.
You were helping him pack.
I was helping him pack his bags. You were driving him to the airport. The fans were shuttling him along and waving at the airport, bye-bye. And then all of a sudden, the last 25, 30 games of the season, are you kidding me? That's the guy that we picked eighth overall. That's the guy that we want. His skill set, he just was confident. Great on Don Granato. Great on Don Granato to give this kid a chance. And let me tell you something, Casey Mittelstadt took advantage of it. He talked about maturing. He talked about understanding. He took things for granted because he was so skilled as a kid. But when you get to the NHL, you got to work. I don't care how good you are, you got to work. And he has become probably, for me, the most exciting player to watch this upcoming season and what he and where he can go with his game. So I'm just going to go back and tie it all together. We talk about all these younger players in our lineup. You have to have some veteran leadership in this lineup. We talk about Craig Anderson. He's 40 years old, solid goaltender, been around a long time, family man. That's what you want around your younger players.
Yeah. No, I like it. I still think they could use a few more. But, you know, time is on their side when it comes to that. Instigators, we're just talking about the JSD comments kind of out of left field and off the top rope yesterday in regard to Jack Eichel. And it's a very cryptic statement. But, you know, if you can decipher it, we've spent time in locker rooms. I think we know what something that is said like this simple, and not as complimentary as you think you'd like it to be, when talking about your star player and captain. Does something like this it makes me wonder, Riff. Like, teams do their homework, and are the Sabres? Yeah, they might have a talent. They have a talent with a neck injury, but do they have a? Does a potential attitude problem with this player affect the deal? Like, is a team going to sit there and say, yeah, we're going to get a good player. He's going to have a neck problem. But we also know that we're dealing with an attitude problem here.
I don't know.
I think it does. Me personally, I think it does. I think it does. I think, you know, Elliot mentioned it yesterday. He called him a type A personality.
Teams look at this, right? Teams look at it like his attitude problem is because he's played in Buffalo and he's played on a team that has not won. And that's the reason why Jack, I mean, I don't think that that's the issue, but,
I think it helps. The Sabres.
Yeah.
I don't think it helps.
But you know as well as I do that they're looking at the attitude of Eichel, and once they get him out of Saberland and into their environment, they think that they're going to change that player. That's what they think. That's how teams think. Jack Eichel is a world-class hockey player. He is no question. He is one of the best players in this game. When he's playing at the top of his game, he is a top 10 NHL hockey player. He is a top 10 player in the world when Jack Eichel is playing his game. And right now, teams know that. They know that.
We have to go to break. Who is John Hayden? And the Sabres hired and rehired and brought back some coaches yesterday. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Adam Mayer has been promoted. And Ryan Reeves was traded yesterday. I can't wait to hear your thought on that. Alex Ovechkin, we haven't talked about him re-signing. We'll get into all of this throughout the show. We're talking JSD's comments about Jack Eichel, Kevin Adams. You know, we're in control of the situation in terms of the trade involving Jack Eichel. So stick around. More to come. We're taking your calls. Tweets are rolling in. And if you want to get on the phone and talk to us, 803-0550, 888-552-550. We'd love to hear from the Instigators. We'll be right back.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Yeah, we have a list. You know, we have different players, on our board, and types of players, positions. You know, when you weigh all those things, Paul, I think, you know, when you look at a roster construction, you have to put players in a position that they excel from an individual standpoint, and then what are they doing to make the players around them better? And there's certain players that also, with what they bring, get people a little braver, get people a little more room on the ice. And I know the game is so much different than your old college days when you were probably fighting, Paul, but it still is a tough game, and you still have to compete. And, you know, the difference, I think, with the game now is it's just about competing, not as much fighting, right? So I'm not saying you're suggesting that, but it's about finding players that we feel are competitive.
I didn't hear that live yesterday when he said that to Paul Hamilton. Back in your college days when you were fighting Hammy. Oh, my God, that's funny. That was quick. That was quick and at a press conference. Good for him. Chuck a little wit in there. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. That was Kevin Adams talking about addressing role players. They did that yesterday. They went and signed John Hayden after my rant. Do you think there was any tie to that, Craig? My 10:45 rant? And then the 11:30 signing. Can we just say maybe there is, just for,
give me a second. I'm texting Hammy right now.
What are you saying? How many fights did you have?
I want to know how many. I want to know his fight card.
Anyway, so they went out and signed John Hayden yesterday. I like that. I loved it when I heard about it. In fact, I heard it when I was listening to you guys as I was driving, Craig. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is to me, this is Twitter. This is what Twitter is to me. Okay.
Don't do it.
I'm going to do it.
Don't do it.
I'm going to do it. This guy loves the show and he messages the show regularly. He's already messaged today and I love him. I think he's hilarious. When it comes to us, I think he's really funny. And yesterday, Craig stepped in to host for me and he did a great job. Like, I was driving down the road because I had to go 10 minutes away and I'm listening. I'm like, wow, Craig's doing a great job. Like, you haven't taken over a segment in, I don't know, ever.
And 5 years.
5 years. So this guy writes and he's Lou Brown Tire World. And Lou Brown is the manager in Major League, and Tire World is where he worked when he's like, I don't know, I got a guy on the other line about doing some white walls. So anyway, he goes, when Riv hosts, it reminds me of the movies where something happens to the pilot and the flight attendant has to try to fly the plane.
Old Lou Brown is all over me. I love it. This guy. I love his sense of humor, and he's pretty witty.
You got to understand, good, though, those flight attendants, they end up landing the plane, Riv. They have somebody read that. They read them the flight log and everything, the pilot's log and how to fly the plane. And those flight attendants, they end up landing the plane. So it's a great analogy. It's a testament to me and you. You did it. Right. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. We're at the Instigators on Twitter if you want to tweet us. So where are we going here? So they were talking about John Hayden and role players. Do you think they're done? What Paul was asking, Kevin Adams was, you know, about Nick Ritchie and other players of the sort. And what did you think of his answer? It sounds like there's still a need for physical role players, which by the way, I will say this, and it you know, well, yesterday was a good start, but there's still more that needs to be done. What?
Well, I think, you know, people, you know, oh my Lord, been on this bloody show for I don't know how many years, and I talk about the same thing, and people just think I want meatballs and meat sticks and fighters. No, that's not what I want. I've said it 10,000 times. I want role players. I want guys that have a specific role. I want guys that understand their roles. You cannot have the same type of player on a team of 12 forwards. If they're all the same, you are not going to get results. I'm going to tell you that right now. Tampa Bay, out of all the teams, understands that. They learned. They got beat four straight in the playoffs against a feisty, raggedy, you know, drag it through the kitchen team in Columbus. And they realized and learned that they needed to go out and get significant role players. They went out and got Patrick Maroon. They went out and got Blake Coleman. They went and gave a first round draft pick for an undrafted Barkley Goodrow. And guess what? All that sandpaper, they went out and got Zach Bogosian in year one and Braden Schenn. And you're like, they're not that good. They are specific role players. They add to your team and allow Steve Stamkos, Kucherov, Palat, Point, all those players to feel super, super comfortable on the ice, because there's all different parts of the game. There's power play. There's penalty kill. There's locking games down at the end of periods. There's all sorts. And then there's that aggressive, nasty part of the game. Well, do you want Palat stepping in there doing that, or Kucherov, or do you want to send out a certain role player to police your team? And that's what Tampa Bay has done. That's what Tampa Bay has done. That's what the Islanders have.
Look at the Rangers.
The Rangers. What Chris Jury's doing. He's got Artemi Panarin. He's got Zibanejad. He's got Kreider.
He's got Lafreniere. He's got Sheedle, whatever his name is. But
what did he do? He went out and he identified, in order to allow those players, those offensive players, worry about the offensive game, he has brought in specific role players. Barkley Goodrow, he's brought in Sammy Blais from St. Louis. He's brought in Ryan Reeves.
Oh, that you missed one. You missed one. Jared Tinordi.
Jared Tinordi on defense. He's going to play as a sixth, seventh defenseman, but this team, as you mark my words, they are going to be in a very interesting situation watching that team play next year, because you don't think that Sammy Blais or Barkley Goodrow can produce offense. They produce speed, physicality, tenaciousness. They're extremely hard to play against. They're going to be very physical.
Energy.
It's going to be a different Rangers team. They've done exactly what Chris Jury said he was going to do. And you remember this. When he got hired, he looked at his team and he said, this team dynamic needs to change. We need to be harder to play against. We need to be more physical. And what did he do? He went out and got players that are not point producers. They're not these, you know, guys that are going to put up 40, 50, 60 points a year. They're not guys that score 20 plus goals a year. No, but they're still as important as guys that score and produce points. You need a mix. You need a mix of player. You need puzzle pieces to fit together. And I think Chris Jury's done a really nice job.
How about this? How about they have Kevin Rooney was there by himself. He's a feisty player. He's not tough, right? But then you have, all of a sudden, you bring in Barkley Goodrow. Okay. Then you bring in Sammy Blais and Barkley Goodrow and Kevin Rooney. You're like, okay, we got a little bit more. Then you go bring in Jared Tinordi, and they're like, okay. And Jared Tinordi still probably has a little bit of doubt in his mind. And then you bring in Ryan Reeves. and really just kind of make everybody there and their roles feel really protected. And everybody says, oh, looks like they found their answer for Tom Wilson. And you know what? No, it's not to go out and address Tom Wilson for what he did last year to Panarin. It's to make sure it never happens again. Simple as that. That's why you do moves
like
that. You
okay with what Wilson did to Panarin?
I'm not okay.
I'm not okay. That is,
I'm not okay.
It is completely, and I mean completely, unacceptable. And let me tell you something. There will be pushback. There will be a statement made. You mark my words. You can circle that one on the calendar.
I can't wait
circle
for that.
It on the calendar, because that is going to be an fun game to watch. And if you think that Tom Wilson is going to be smiles in that game, you're very mistaken.
Tom Wilson's mood changed yesterday. I believe that. I know the role. I mean, he's a better player. I mean, I get it, but you're going to be incredible. A tough guy. If you're going to be a tough guy in this league, you're keeping an eye out for what other teams are doing. And the more teams that don't have guys, the easier nights are for you.
For him, especially, because number one, he's an elite player. And number two, he's one of the most physical, dominant, scary players in the league. And there's very few players that can handle him. But you need to understand that the Rangers just picked up two guys that have no problem and wouldn't even blink an eye to go after him. And that's
now
that's Ryan Reeves. And be honest with you, you need to realize, and I think you realize this, that it's such a small part of the game now. But let me tell you something. When a Temi Panarin skates around that ice, and I'm going to tell you this, I can guarantee you with 100% certainty, Ryan Reeves will have a talk with a Temi Panarin. And he will tell that young man, listen, you do whatever you want on that ice. Do you understand me? I am there for you. You play your game. You play with your grit and your furiosity, and you do whatever you need to do, because you're the guy. But know that you will be taken care of. Go and play your game. I've got your back. And this Russian kid's going to be looking at him going, I like the sounds of that. I like the sounds of that.
Instigators. New coaches. Rasmus Dahlin contract. What does it all look like? We'll talk about that at 11 o'clock. Yesterday, Elliot Friedman said that the Sabres have made a serious offer. Did I hear that right yesterday, Riv?
Say that again, sir.
Elliot said that yesterday. The Sabres have made a serious offer to Dahlin, and you asked, was it money or term? And you said it was a term contract. They offered him term. So I'll ask you what that means at 11. I need you to tell me what the offer was. Not that you know it, but what do you think it was? Sabres hired a new coach. They brought back Matt Ellis. Dan Girardi steps aside. And Adam Mayer takes on a promotion. So a lot more to come here, Instigators. Hour number two coming up in a few minutes when we come back. Might have to dive into something Craig might not care about. Or will he? Stick around, more to come. Welcome back, Instigators, WGR 550, final segment for this hour. Hour number two, we'll talk Dahlin contract, new coaches, and we'll get back into talking more about the Jack Eichel trade and Kevin Adams' comments yesterday. But Craig, things that Craig won't care about, we need an intro for this, and I think you're going to care about this one. Alex Ovechkin signed a new contract, terrible contract, but I mean, whatever. It's $9.5 million average for 5 years, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not looking at the deal as we speak, but he said he wants to come back and play, and he does think about chasing Gretzky's record, Riff. It's on his mind.
That's Alex interesting Ovechkin that he said would say that,
breaking
that, right?
Gretzky's, Alex Ovechkin said that breaking Gretzky's record also factored into him wanting to play 5 more years. I'm going to try best. That's why I want to play 5 more years, to have a chance to catch the great one. Why not? If I'm going to be second, pretty good number as well. Or no, yeah, he goes, if I'm going to be second, pretty good number as well.
Yeah.
Does he do it? So I think someone calculated it has to be 5 years, I think, at 33 goals, or 4 years at 33 goals. Gotta look it up.
I really do believe that if he stays healthy, which I think is the biggest thing, I think if he stays healthy, he will have an opportunity. The team still has to stay competitive. Okay. They still need those playmaking players to surround Alex Ovechkin. I would love nothing more to see him at least succeed in continuing to score at a high level for the next 2-3 years. And then watching him understand that he needs a certain amount of goals to go after it. I mean, it's going to be very difficult. Like, he needs like 160 goals.
164 goals he needs.
164 goals. Man, that's a lot of goals.
He needs 33 goals a year for the next 5 years. He needs to average 33 for the next five years. Yeah,
I'm going
to
tell you this. I think his next 2 years in particular are critical in where this goes, because he still is scoring at an elite pace. And if he can score two more 50 goal seasons, that would put him at 64 goals from there on in. So the question is, can he score 25 or 20 goals a year for 3 years?
The last 2 years have really screwed him over. I don't say really, but he missed 12 games 2 years ago because of COVID, right? And then last year he was suspended for 4 games, I think, or something like that, because of the Russian crew that broke quarantine. But then obviously the COVID season. So, you know, he's out 37 games last year. So that's 50 games he's out right there. I mean, that's 25 goals already. That he in the last, because if you look at his games before the COVID season, 19-20, he 81 games, 82, 82, 79, 81, 78, 48. That was going all the way back to 12-13, and 48 was the shortened season.
Yeah.
So he played all those games. Then before that, 78, 79, 72, 79, 82, 82, 81. He never misses time.
Yes. It's incredible.
For the way he plays, I can't believe he's not missed more time due to injury. It is absolutely incredible.
Well, he's, like I said, he is a very big man. Like, people don't realize how big Alex Ovechkin is. He's 6'3". He's 235 pounds. He's just a thick piece of meat. He throws himself around the ice. But his shot is just something special. I mean, it's
did you ever get hit by him? Did you ever get hit by him?
I got hit by him. I'd have to show you I have a jersey with him, with his jersey on the wall. And in the jersey, there's a picture of me playing against Alex Ovechkin, and it shows him cranking me and me going flying.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You got to get that picture and show. I had one run-in with him, literally one run-in with him on the ice. And it was his rookie year. We were in Washington, so it would have been either the first or third period. I think it was the first, because it happened down in their end. So you know how the bench is further away. You know the rink in Washington, right? So someone changes, pucks in their end. It gets rimmed around to his side. Our guy changed on the forecheck, okay? So I get off the bench and I start charging down the left wing boards as I'm heading into their end. So he's a right winger. He's coming up the other way. Okay. So he's turned, he's posting up as a winger, and he gets the puck and he starts skating forward. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to kill the kid. I'm going to kill him. I'm 6'4", 240 plus pounds at the time. I can move pretty good and I like to hit. And I had him with his head down. I had the Russian with his head down. And I absolutely thought I was going to destroy him. And he saw me at the last second and he braced himself. And I went chest into shoulder. Okay. Like, you know how he leaned into me.
Yeah.
Neither one of us went down. But like I said, I just got on the ice. I turned around and went back. I was like, I was winded. Like, I thought he crushed my lungs. I thought he broke my sternum with how hard he counter hit me. Yeah. I didn't think he saw me coming. And
well, I had a good outing with him in Washington years ago. I was with the Canadians, and he ended up, it was in Washington, and he ended up absolutely lighting me up right by the by the red line, right by the benches. Okay. And just, I mean, it was one of the hardest hits I've taken. It was a good one, you know, and he skated away and it was a clean hit, you know, it's my fault for playing with the head down. And a couple shifts later, I ended up getting him. I got him like not quite as good as the one that he got me, but I ended up knocking him down.
Did you?
Yes. So he jumped back up and he had a huge smile on his face. Okay.
Okay. Which so he was, liked it.
So he liked it. Now it's all of a sudden I'm playing with a bear and he's just kind of like liking this little thing we got going on. I'm like, man, this guy's like one of the best goal scorers in the game, but he's smiling when we're hitting each other. And I'm just thinking in my head, I really like this guy. So later on in that period, same thing happened where he came to charge me and lay me out again. And I saw him and we just like two rams hit each other and we both like bounced off each other and we both were smiling. And he said something, he said something to me like, this is fun or something like that. I was like, what?
Well, you remember when he was playing against Risto, you could see that the two of them had fun running at each other.
Yeah. Yeah. So the same thing, like he said something to me as he was skating off the ice. He like tapped me on the pads. He's like, this is fun or something like that. And I'm like,
that's awesome.
I don't know if 6'3", 230 pounds coming at you is the greatest thing.
You're in a bad spot. You're the one in the bad spot because exactly. You're the defenseman.
Exactly. I'm just sitting here going, man, I got to keep my head up every time this guy's on the ice now.
So
trying to stop him from scoring.
Another Ovi story. We're in Washington and the faceoff is outside of our zone, right in front of our bench at the faceoff dot. I'm sitting next to Clark MacArthur because Clark was he's not much younger than I am, but he was a rookie that year, or it might have been his second year, which he was just kind of dabbling in games then. And I'm verbally attacking Ovi about how ugly he is. Okay, because, you know, like, let's be honest, Ovi's not the most handsome man in the world. He had the tinted visor. So I'm just ripping into him about his tooth and his just kind of everything. And more than that, it's a little overboard, but it's Ovi. So, you know, it doesn't really matter. He doesn't care. And I didn't think he could hear him. And it was a 5-on-3. They were on a 5-on-3, Riv. So he's on the point. Okay. And I'm yelling all this stuff to him and I don't think he can hear me. And then all of a sudden, right before the puck drops, he looks over at the bench and he goes, yeah, watch. And he was trying to one-time one. So like Clarky and I were sitting beside each other. We're like, oh my God, please don't score. Cause if he scores, he's going to go by the bench. He's going to look at you. He's going to fist pump. He's going to rub it in. Cause you just like, much like Marty was chirping Tkachuk one game in St. Louis. And then Tkachuk scores the winner. Yeah. And then Lindy's like, leave him alone. You know what I mean? So I really had no business talking to Ovi, but I was talking to Ovi and I just sitting there and he was trying to wind up Riv. He wanted that one timer. I swear to God, he must've taken 10 shots in that power play just to score, just to spite me. I don't know if he knew who was saying it, but he didn't end up scoring. That's all I can tell you. And I just remember I was so grateful he didn't score. Yeah, it would have been a bad moment. Cause that moment with Marty, you know, cause I knew that story about St. Louis. And that was ringing in my head.
Did I ever tell you the story? So my last year in Buffalo, and this is my last Ovi story. And this to me means more than anything in all the years of me playing against him and dealing with him. But you know, my last year here in Buffalo, I got healthy scratch for over half the year. Okay. I remember, we played the Washington Capitals one night and I remember, I was, so where the security entrance and they go to their bus that's waiting. I was basically walking out somewhat at the same time as Ovi was. And, he came up to me because I was standing a little bit off to the side, and he came up to me and he's like, why don't you play? And I'm just like, we'll be a tough situation, you know, playing the younger guys right now. And he was like, that's not smart. That's not smart. You should be playing. You're a very good player. Very good player. And I just said, you know what? Thank you. And he kind of gave me like almost like a little hug. And he's like, you know, good luck and this and that. And I'll never forget that. That to me, and when you think back to these, you know, interactions with players on the ice, and usually there's a lot of people that didn't like the way I played, but to see these guys off the ice and them acknowledging you and respecting you, I thought was pretty cool. Like I'll never forget that moment that I just talked with them, and kind of, it was pretty cool.
Oh, that's a cool story. Instigators. Oh, I could have thrown a shot out there, but I'm not going to. We're going to come back. We'll talk Rasmus Dahlin, not shot at you, Riv. I'm done doing that. Those days are over. When we come back, the coaching and Rasmus Dahlin's contract. Elliot Friedman said yesterday that the Sabres have made a serious offer. What does that offer entail? Contract length? Dollars? Have Craig tell you. I have a number and a figure and a term and everything in my mind. I'll be right back in Skaters Hour number 2.